This morning I want to, we're going to be in 2 Kings, so if you would turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to be there in just a moment as we get into the scripture. But it's one of those things, we sing that song where it talks about God fighting our battles. And as I'm sitting here and as I'm thinking about this, it goes right in with the message. But yet sometimes in my mind, I mess it all up. Because I want him to fight my battles. You understand what I mean? I want to pick the battles, and then I want to have God fight for my situation. That's not the case. That should never be the case. God will come in and fight for us. We're going to get into that. But the first thing we need to understand in going into this message, I guess, is one that the battle belongs to the Lord, but my idea or my understanding, your idea of your understanding of what battle is worth fighting is really important, because sometimes the battles that I think God ought to fight have nothing to do with God's will. It has to do with my life and my situation and the things that are going on that may not be in line with God's will. And there may be a reason that I'm fighting that battle, is to get me back in line. But we're going to go into this morning. We're going to talk about Elisha. And so we are going to start in verse 8. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to that place of which the man of God had told him, and thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' So he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Surely he is in Dothan.' Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with you are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down, Elisha prayed to the Lord, and he said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, 'This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek.' But he led them to Samaria. So it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see.' And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were that they were in Samaria. Now, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, 'My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?' But he answered, 'You shall not kill them. Would you kill those who you have taken captive with your own sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master.' Then he prepared a great feast for them, and they ate and drank. And he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the band of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel." Let's pray. Father, we lift up your word to you. And Lord, we know it is holy. We know it is true. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would move among us today. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our lives to what you have for us. Lord, I need you. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, change me by your word, Lord, and use me in your kingdom. kingdom. And I pray that for each and every person in this place, Lord, that we would be what you desire us to be. Take this message today, Lord, and be glorified. In your name I pray. Amen. As we look at this, this is always one of those stories that I loved as a kid when I think, man, the mountains are just full of fiery chariots. You know, and I thought that just would be an amazing thing to be sitting there and all of a sudden have your eyes open and you see not just the horses and the chariots surrounding the city, but you see the mountains full of horses and chariots of fire and know that it's there for you. And then as I got older and I began to study, that's all still there. It's all there. But I think, man, how awesome was it that this young servant got to experience that? Why was that? Why is this, you know, basically the only time other than when Elijah was taken to heaven in that type of a chariot? This is the only place, the only time that God fought in this way, or at least showed up in this way. Why is that? I don't know, but one thing I want us to look at today is Elisha's connection to God has a lot to do with this. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to see, if I do these things that Elisha did, that I'm not saying that I'm going to see those chariots and horses of fire, but my God can do what he wants to do. And so as we look at this, I want to look at a few people here. First of all, I want to look at this servant of the king of Syria. Now here's a guy, he's working for the king, he's in the house, and somehow he's heard of Elisha. Elisha is in Dothan. Elisha, like we read, everything that the king planned, God told Elisha, and Elisha told the king of Israel, and the king of Syria's plans were disrupted. This servant of the king of Syria, my watch is talking to me, sorry. Sometimes I talk to it and I don't realize it. But this servant of the king of Syria, the enemies of Israel knew of Elisha and the fact that God told Elisha the things that the king said in his bedroom. The enemy knows about your connection to God. The servant of your enemy knows about your connection to God. Sometimes I wonder if we know our connection to God. Yeah, we've got that idea that we know we're children of God. We know we're redeemed. We know we've been forgiven. We know we're eternally saved. We know all of that. But what about daily? And this king would go and he would say stuff and make plans, I'm sure weekly, to go and do something. And they were all messed up because Elisha's connection to God didn't just happen on Sunday morning. Ouch. I just want you to know that got me as much as it got you. But you know, that's the case. He was so connected to God that anytime the enemy said something, God relayed that to him. And so he could relay it to the people that needed to. So let's stop here and look for just a minute. The connection that you have with God needs to be relayed to other people. Elisha's connection to God, he didn't just keep it. He didn't just take it home and feel good. He didn't just stand around smiling because he knew what was going to happen. He took the connection he had with God, he heard it, and he spoke it to somebody else. Ouch again. Because that's where we're at. We come to Sunday school, or we have a Bible study, or we're at home reading our Bible, and we have that connection with God, and it is just something that's just totally amazing that people can't understand if they don't have it. And then we just keep it and go on. The king of Israel needed to hear that. There are people out there that are Christians that need to hear about your connection to God. And they don't need, it's not bragging. He relayed the information, the encouragement, the understanding that God gave him, he relayed to another fellow Israelite. He shared that message. And the enemy, the servant of the enemy, knew it. Not only did he know it, but he was brave enough to go to the king. And the king accused his own people. Somebody in here is a spy. Somebody in here is telling the king of Israel all of our plans. Who's the spy? He was that sure that there was somebody among them telling the enemy what they were planning. Now here's this servant. He comes up and he is so sure of Elisha's power. He is so sure of Elisha's connection to God that he's going to tell the king, hey, it's not a traitor. It's that guy Elisha. He has such a connection with God that he knows everything you say in your bedroom. How brave was this guy? How sure was he of his information? Because the king could very easily have said, you're covering for yourself. It's you. He was so sure of Elisha's connection with God that he was willing to tell the king, the enemy, that's the guy we got to look out for. But you know what? Even though he knew about the connection with God, and even though he understood the power of God to speak to people and to help protect his people, the saddest thing is he stayed with the king. To me, that just blows my mind. If this servant, if he realizes, hey, everything this king is trying to do, everything this Syrian army is trying to do, God has a hand up on it, and God is in control, and God is speaking to people, and God is taking care of people, and he's loving people, but I'm going to stay with the king. Does that make sense to anybody else? But yet today, there are people that believe in God. They believe in God's power, but they're going to stay with the world. It happens all the time because people know up here, but it never comes to here. So this servant with the king of Syria, he stays sided with the king. Then we're going to go and look at another servant. This is Elisha's servant. Now, Elisha had another servant earlier named Gehazi, and that's a whole other sermon. But anyway, he messed up and ended up with leprosy. And so Elisha finds another servant. So this servant probably hadn't been with Elisha very long. So he's new in the faith. Okay? He's new in the faith, and what happens is he's with Elisha, and he goes out early in the morning, and he looks, and the city is surrounded by these horses and chariots of the Syrian army. He runs back in. He says, man, we're in trouble. What are we going to do? His focus was on the enemy. And here he is. He's a servant of God. He is a servant of Elisha. He knows Elisha's faith. Because Elisha has to see him praying. He has to see him relaying all these messages of what God has done. He is a servant. He is connected to Elisha. He's connected to a good Christian person. But he still says, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? We're in trouble. The enemy is stronger than we are. We're two people. And the enemy is going to take us out. So he's able to focus when he steps out and he sees all the trouble in front of him. What's he do? He immediately runs to the one guy that he trusts. And that guy says, don't worry. The people that are on our side are more than those that are with them. And Elisha prays to open his eyes. and his eyes are open, and he sees the mountains full of chariots of fire and horses. We never hear anything else about him in this story. Man, think about this guy. Here he is. He's connected to a Christian, but yet is still focused on the enemy. But when the Christian begins to pray for him, his eyes are open. And he sees the power of God. There are a lot of people connected to you as Christians. And they are so focused on the world. Yeah, they're connected to you. They understand your faith, but they are still focused on the world. All the enemy that's out there. Pray for them. Pray that their eyes are open. Pray that the Spirit of God would draw them. Now here, it's awesome that Elisha only has to pray one time. You know how many times I had to pray for my kids? I can't even guess how many times my family's had to pray for me. But to pray without ceasing means not to pray all the time, but to continually pray and be persistent in prayer. If you care about that person that's connected with you but still got their eyes on the world, then you as a Christian, then I as a Christian have to persistently, constantly pray for them that God will open their eyes. If they mean anything to you, then you will pray for them. If you don't pray for them, they don't mean anything to you. I don't know how else to say that. I'm as guilty as you are. I say I care about these people, and I pray for them every now and then. People say, well, I can't pray for 30 minutes. Do you not have that many people you care about? I'm just bouncing this off of a mirror at me, guys. I'm just saying that we say all of these things, that we care and we love these people and we want them to come to know the Lord. But are we willing to pray and pray and pray until their eyes are open? Elisha, yeah, he just had to pray one time. But for us, it may be more than one time. But is it worth it? Was it worth it that Elisha came and said, Lord, open his eyes? We don't hear anything else about this guy, but was it worth it? How do you think he was as a servant going on? It's not written in that story. It's a little bit later. He's still a servant of Elisha. But was it worth it to Elisha to pray until his eyes were open? You bet. Because it changed that guy's life from then on. I don't know how. And when I pray for somebody, when their eyes are finally open, it's going to change their life. And I may not know how. But that's not the point. The point is that God has the opportunity to open their eyes to see the power of God. And when he saw the power of God, what changed? Man, his life had to have been changed because he saw the deliverance. It doesn't tell us he was there, but we know he was. That when that army of Syrians came down and Elisha prayed to have them blinded, I'm sure he's standing right there. And he looks up and here's this army of blind people. Now, they were probably not physically blind, but they were kept from knowing who Elisha was, because it tells us that Elisha led them. And it wasn't an army of blind people that were holding hands. And no, they followed him so they could see him, but they just did not know. They were kept from recognizing him. And that servant, once his eyes were opened, had to have saw the deliverance of God. Next person we're going to look at, we're going to look at Elisha. Man, we can't relate to this guy. I mean, this is Elisha. But look at what he does. It's so simple. It tells us that whatever the king said in his bedroom, God's telling Elisha. And Elisha's passing it on. Elisha listened to God. That's the only way he could have done it. That's the only way he could have told the king of Israel the things he told him, is he had to have heard it from God. We have to listen to God. Now that sounds pretty simple, pretty basic. But do we do it? Because the Bible is God's Word telling us His will. Do we listen to it? Do we understand that it's written to us? Yes, it was written thousands of years ago, but it was written to us. Do we listen? And not just listen, but hear. Elisha heard the words of God and then took them and used them. And that's the second thing he did. He heard the word of God and he spoke. This is one guy. One person and go and tell one other person and allow that person to take that information to other people. Elisha heard that the Syrians were in this place, and so he goes and he tells the king. And the king goes and tells his officers. And the officers say, we're going to this place because that's where the king of Syria is at, so we're going to dodge that place. And so he tells what he's heard. Seems really simple. Seems pretty basic. But how long has it been since you've told people what God has said to you? I get a chance to do that 3 times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But that's just up here. When it's a one-to-one person and you can sit down and you can tell people what God said to you, that may change their whole life. And they may take that information to somebody else. And before you know it, it's magnified and it's reaching hundreds and thousands of people because you shared what God spoke with you. But that's too uncomfortable. You want to talk about uncomfortable? Come up here and put this tie on. I'm serious. Every Sunday morning I come up here and I'm thinking, God, why in the world have you put me on that stage? I am a truck driver from Stockton, Missouri. And I realize that one of these days I'm going to stand before God and He's going to say, all those people that came in and listened to you, you had the opportunity, you had the responsibility, and you did not use it. I never want to hear that. But you are going to someday stand before God and He's going to say, I told you this and you never told anybody. The responsibilities we have, the blessings we have come with responsibilities. We want the eternal life. We want the blessings. We want all the fluff and the good stuff. And that's ours. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's all ours. But the fact that there are people out there lost and dying and going to hell and you're not sharing and I'm not sharing with them what God has told us, let that weigh on you for just a moment. Elisha went ahead and he told the king of Israel. But I want to look and maybe dig just a little bit deeper that it doesn't tell us, but I think we can understand this, into Elisha's contact to God. Because when his servant comes running back in, he says, all of these soldiers are out there. This whole Syrian army is out there. What are we going to do? He didn't even go outside. It does not tell us that he went outside. He did not have to go out and look and count the number of soldiers. He says, no, there's more on our side than there are on theirs. He knew that ahead of time. He knew that the power of God was stronger than anything he would ever face. I don't have to go outside to know that what I have inside me is greater than what's in that world. And you don't either. But he also knew that God was prepared to take care of that. God was prepared to fight that battle before Elisha ever went outside. God is prepared to fight the battle for those people that are connected to Him. Now understand this, what I mean. God is prepared to fight any battle. God goes before us, He goes behind us, He goes with us. But I think it's very important that you understand, and don't get me wrong, but if you're not a Christian, I don't think you're going to like this part. Because this little servant of His that we just talked about, who had his focus on the army, had his focus on the enemy, was still scared. And then it says, behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots all around Elisha. It doesn't say they were around the servant. I had never thought about that till this week. Because at this point, this servant was not connected with God. There are a lot of people out there that know all about God and they have their focus on the world, but the understanding is God is going to fight the battles for His people. He surrounded Elisha. If He's willing to fight your battles, why would you not get in line with Him? Why would you not surrender to Him? Because the mountains are already full. If you're a Christian, and whatever you're going to do tomorrow, the mountains are already full. The chariots are already lined up for whatever battle you're going to face. And you don't even have to get to tomorrow to know that. Elisha didn't have to go outside to know that. He knew that God was prepared to fight his battles. And he knew that God would bring him through any and every situation. Now, sometimes for us as Christians, we see this as, okay, now wait, I'm not sure about that one. Because we see how God brings somebody through if they're healed from this disease or if they were saved in a wreck and they come back to good health and we see that God has brought them through this. And we think, okay, well, God did bring them through. God brought Peter out of prison. But what about James? James didn't make it out of prison. They killed James. But God brought him through. Because where is James today? He knew that God would bring him through any situation. Now I'm going to wrap up with this last part because I love this. Here's this king of Syria, and he's coming down, and he's surrounded Elisha, and he's ready to either take him back, kill him. He just wants him out of the picture. He's destroying everything that he's planning to do. So he's got him surrounded. He is totally 100% intending to do some type of harm to Elisha. And God takes that and He turns it around and to where after they're blinded and they're brought in, they fix a meal for the Syrian army. Man, they took their enemy and they brought him in and they fed them. And then they let them go back to their master. These guys were coming as an army not to just say, hey, we're just here to tell you to quit talking to people. No, they were there to do damage. They were there to at least kidnap him and bring him back and put him in prison, if not something else. We don't know what would have happened. But we do understand that once they were treated that way, they go back and they never, it tells us here, it says the band of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. What the king of Syria meant for harm, God used for good. What the king of Syria planned on doing for harm brought the people of Israel no more raiders. No more people coming in and carrying things off and killing people and destroying their crops. None of that. God took what was planned to be wrong, to do harm, and turned it into good. God took what Satan meant to be bad, and Jesus turned it around 3 days later and turned it into good for you and me. God can take any situation. If we stay in contact with Him, if we hear Him, if we're willing to speak for Him, if we're willing to trust Him, if we're willing to obey Him, He will bring us through every situation. So today it goes to, I'm not asking you to be like Elisha or one of these servants. I'm asking you to look at yourself. And if you're like the king's servant and you know all of these things, why stay sided with the world when you know the power of God? When you know the fact that Jesus died on the cross for you, He shed His blood so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could have a relationship with the Creator of this world and spend eternity with Him and glorify Him every single day and be loved by God. Why would you stay sided with the world? If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, don't stay there. Surrender to Him. If you're a new Christian, man, it's so easy to go ahead and keep your focus back on the world, on the enemy. But allow God to open your eyes and change your heart so that He's not just surrounding Elisha, He's surrounding you because it's there for you. As a Christian, keep your eyes open. And for those of you that are strong Christians, you have to keep listening. You have to keep speaking. You have to trust and obey. Know that He's there. And you have to do what He calls you to do. I don't care how big the army is that's out in front of you. Those are our choices. What are you going to do with them? Because one of those is going to fit everybody in here. That's what you've got in front of you, is a God that is willing to fill the mountains with horses and chariots to protect you because He loves you. You can either keep focused on that or you can turn and run from it. But that's your choice. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before You and I thank You so much. But Lord, not only do You love us, but You're willing to fight our battles. Lord, You have everything. You are everything we need. Lord, move among us. Help us to be what You desire us to be, to make the decisions You want us to make this morning, that we might honor and glorify You with our life, with our words. In Your name we pray. Amen.